This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hi, I'm Madison Malone Kircher.
And I'm Rachel Hampton. And you're listening to ICYMI.
In case you missed it.
Slate's podcast about internet culture, live and in person from Austin.
Woo! Hello and welcome to SXXW X ICYMI.
That's a lot of
that was very
letters.
Hard to say.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's actually a Wordle clue.
Oh yeah.
You remember that?
I didn't do it yet today.
Oh, you're a Wordle queen, so I'm surprised.
We are extremely glad to be here today, mostly because I have been threatening Rachel for many weeks now that I was going to show up in a 10-gallon hat.
And every single time I threaten to walk off stage, so is that my moment? Is it my cue?
Well...
Oh.
I didn't bring a hat, but I did have our producer Daniel edit a tiny hat on top of my cartoon in our logo.
That's acceptable. I may walk off later. I'm reserving the right to do that.
I respect that you reserve the right to do that any and all times. That is in the fine print of our co-host
contract?
Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep. I don't remember signing that, but I'm sure we have one.
So in just a few minutes, we are going to be joined by Bridget Todd, who is the host of the excellent podcast, There Are No Girls on the Internet. And we're going to talk about what it is like to be chronically online and what we hate about being chronically online.
And what we hate about it this week is that 2-3 weeks, an infinity, forever later, we're still talking about Chelsea Hart and Modern Warrior Saga on TikTok.
So if you need a deep dive, last week we dropped an episode entitled, Where Are the Womblams? That will tell you everything you need to know, which is not everything that happened in this saga, because it is unending and you're welcome in advance. It's just the things you need.
But in case you guys aren't online as much as we are, we're going to do a kind of condensed version of an already short version we have called High Speed Downloads, where we have about a minute to explain it to, an internet controversy, except now we're going to take 45 seconds, because that's all we have left.
It's a little bit of a refresher before we bring out Bridget, who does not need a refresher. I will say, when we emailed her, we're like, so we want to talk about Modern Warrior. Don't worry if you don't know anything. I believe the response was, I'm up on the womblams.
Read in on the womblams.
Okay. So,
Madison, you want to take? I'm pressuring you.
Was this
doing
in the contract
this.
Too?
It was. Yes, you have to embarrass yourself in front of a crowd.
Okay. So, very very briefly, there's this indigenous TikTok star. TikTok star. We're off to a
wow.
Great
you have
start.
42 seconds. You got to keep going.
Indigenous TikTok star named Lance Sosie, aka Modern Warrior, who was allegedly sleeping with multiple people, including Chelsea Hart, a white TikTok star who was one of them, and thought that they were his lone partner, proceeds to post a wild and dramatic TikTok that involves the term womblams and also the phrase "you fucking knew." Allegations of being a sexual predator and quote unquote assault start flying around. Videos are posted and deleted. Another indigenous creator is wrongly accused of having dated Lance and is brigaded by Chelsea Hart's followers, such that this indigenous creator is now banned from TikTok. Been unbanned. A woman comes forward and says Lance cheated on her and that the same thing happened, but then it's
you
like, actually, Chelsea, you're just using me for attention. A whole lot of other stuff happens. The womblams become a meme, and drum roll, please welcome Bridget.
Wow. You didn't even run out the clock that time.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
Thank you. I'm very winded.
We're going to let Madison get an inhaler after this, but for right now, we're just going to make you not be able to breathe.
Very good.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The new Starz series, Mary and George, starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, tells a story almost too outrageous to be true. But shockingly, it is. With next to nothing to her name and looking to elevate her social standing, Mary Villiers sets her handsome and charming son, George, on the path to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. Trust me, you've never seen a mother-son duo like this before. The show is full of wit, scandal, action, and did I mention Julianne Moore? Something this audacious and sexy as is genre-bending as it gets. You won't be able to look away. Watch the season premiere of Mary and George now, only on Starz and the Starz app.
Bridget, thank you so much for joining us. We're so glad that you're here.
Oh, I could not be more thrilled. This is one of my favorite podcasts. So a little bit of a fangirl / dream come true moment for me.
Okay.
Super excited.
It is all mutual. We are all fangirls here on this stage. So I guess to start, the Womblands, where are they?
I am deep in the womblands. I have to say, when you all reached out to me to do this podcast, my partner was like, thank God you have somebody else to talk to about this story so that I can stop hearing about it from you. Because I've been like, no, a new update, a new update. So yeah. I'm very well read in on the situation in the womblands.
We are deep in the womblands together. So when did you first start seeing this come across your FYP? Like, what was your first introduction? Was it the remixes?
So I followed Lance. I think I really enjoyed the woodcutting content. I find something soothing
as
about...
As one does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's something soothing about watching somebody chop wood.
Yeah.
So I had already followed Lance, and I didn't really know who Chelsea was, but the first video I saw was the very intense, like... The soft music behind it, the like looking straight into the camera with the ring light. That was the first thing I saw. And I just strapped in for the ride. Every iteration, the remixes, the songs, every new piece of information came to my For You page and it hit right on time. I was definitely all in.
So you're caught up. Do you think we ever should have litigated this on TikTok in the first place?
Absolutely not. I mean, I'll just say this. Okay. I know it's a delicate situation. It's one of those situations where every new piece of information I find, I'm like, should I know this? Mm-hmm. I don't even know these people. I've never heard of Chelsea. I had never heard of Chelsea before. It does feel a little bit like I am being asked to weigh in and to litigate somebody else's deeply personal, like interpersonal situation. And I am chronically online. I love the internet. I love social media. But I don't think it makes situations better or clearer or easier when millions of strangers are very invested in them.
Right. Oh, yeah. I cannot imagine millions of people being involved in my feuds with Madison.
Right. It shouldn't be millions of strangers. It just should be Rachel, Bridget, and myself.
Yeah.
We are
yeah.
three strangers.
You are now litigating our relationship from now on.
I'm happy to play, like, the judge of your disputes anytime.
Okay. So speaking of judging, there's another question just ripping through TikTok right now. And the question is, are there more wheels or are there more doors in the world?
Ooh. I think, what a good question.
I can go first and give you some time to think.
Please.
Because we haven't actually litigated this together.
That's because the answer's doors.
No, the answer's wheels. Why would, okay, every single, there's no one wheel vehicle out there. So every single wheel, there's multiple of them.
But
so,
cities exist.
Yes, but.
More buildings than cars.
Yes, but. Bikes exist as well. I just feel, and we're counting, what are we counting, stroller wheels? Like, you know, little things you push children around in? Those have a lot of wheels on them.
Rachel, it's doors.
It's not.
Bridget?
I think I have to go wheels. Because so often, when you have an item that has wheels, it has multiple. So, like, exactly. This trash can, if you're listening, you can't see, but there's an industrial trash can. It's got four wheels on the bottom of it. So think of everything that has wheels in the world. It probably has multiple. And so I'm going to go wheels.
Okay, but think about how many doors that trash can was wheeled through on the way into this room.
That's also a good point.
I feel like we've won by the majority.
Yeah, I will concede here. So that is the internet of right now. Truly, that was the last thing on my For You page. But Bridget, we would love to know, what is your earliest internet memory?
My earliest internet memory, I would say maybe not my earliest, but certainly my most formative, were in the early 2000s, all of that stuff that I guess I can only really describe as the weird internet. Mm-hmm. So salad fingers and my spoon God. Is too big. I don't know what was up with the humor in the early 2000s, late 90s, but it reached where it was meant to reach. I loved it. And looking back, I don't know what that was. I don't know why I liked it so much. My friends and I would quote these videos, Homestar Runner. We would quote mm-hmm. them endlessly. And looking back, I'm thinking, what was it about our culture that our internet experiences at that time were just so weird?
They were extremely strange. I haven't heard the name Salad Fingers invoked in years, and I will be sending my therapy bill after this because that video scared the absolute shit out of me.
It was a weird one.
It was so weird.
And those videos were so strangely formative in the way that they felt ubiquitous to us. And the older we get, the more I realize that when someone says I'm tired and I go, well, take a nap and then fire the missiles, they look at me like I have six heads. I'm like, this is the end of the world. This is YouTube royalty. How do you not know this?
I don't know this.
Well, that's a micro generation right there, folks.
Yeah, I feel like this content kind of broke my brain the way that it just sticks in there.
Speaking of broken brains, we're going to move on to my favorite broken brain activity, which is internet scams. What is your favorite one?
This is kind of a basic answer. I don't know that I'll say it's my favorite, but it's the one that I gave up the most of my, willingly volunteered the most of my life to, and that is Caroline Calloway.
Madison's about to exit the room. This is her least favorite internet
scam. For legal reasons,
scam.
I can say nothing.
But have you been on the Caroline Calloway Reddit?
I wish I could say no, but you know I have.
Girl,
small
bean.
And I think I don't really have thoughts on Caroline Calloway as a person, but when you go on the Reddit, the amount of I enjoy marveling at the amount of dedication that people have to chronicling her every move. I used to live in New York, but I live in DC now. Mm-hmm. I know that she brought her cat into a bar.
Yes.
I don't even live in the city, and I know this. I got it from three different people.
Yes.
It's just the tenacity with which people bring to chronicling her every move. I marvel at it.
It's like watching the human spirit in its finest form because it doesn't matter, but there's so many stupid details. Like, I know she painted her wood floors, but didn't move her pile of dirty laundry. So there's just weird paint streaks around this pile of laundry in her room. I should not know this.
Yes.
And yet, it's in my brain. I can picture the floor in my head right now.
Yes, I'm very invested in the, very small details of her apartment, the painting of the floor, but then not moving the pile of junk, so you just paint around it. Painting the microwave, is she gonna get her deposit back?
No.
I have a lot of questions. If anyone knows her super or her landlord, I have a lot of questions.
I can't imagine she's not watching her Instagram stories, just like, this bitch.
Shaking his head.
That's $10, that's $20.
Rachel, what's your favorite scam?
Oh, that's hard. I mean, he's not my favorite, but he is the one that occupies most of my brain space. Sean King. Talcum X just really is, because so many people still like him.
Yes.
And I cannot stop thinking about how much of a scammer this man is. He was gonna go climb mountains. He raised money to go climb seven mountains, and he climbed none of them. And he kept the money.
This sounds replicable, and I don't like hiking, so I'm getting some ideas.
Listen, just say you're climbing mountains for racial justice, and then people would donate. Maybe not you, but they would.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you.
All right.
Mine is not a specific person so much as the broad category of any Facebook DM from a high school bully that begins, "Hey, girly." No, I don't want to be my own boss, babe.
So you're telling me you could have gotten in on LuLaRoe and you chose not to?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I could have been, in on Young Living when it was, embryonic living. Living is an essential oils MLM, in case that sounds like gibberish to any of you. And if it does, congrats. You're living a healthier life than
I love y'all's brains. Not us at all. I mean, speaking of, again, broken brains, you have this amazing show called There Are No Girls on the Internet. Where in your kind of internet history did this idea for this show come from?
Yeah, honestly, so thank you. Honestly, I just got sick of marginalized voices, you know, women, queer folks, trans folks. I just got sick of seeing us left out of the conversation about what it means to show up online. I think that any real story that you're telling about the internet or technology has to have marginalized people at the forefront, because we're the ones who are making internet culture. We're the ones that make being on the internet fun and exciting and more inclusive and creative and all of the things that we love about it. And so I just saw so many places purporting to tell that story, but really not having the range to have it be a story that really includes, you know, identity at its core. And I wanted to create a platform where our voices could really be amplified and get the spotlight they deserve in those foundational stories.
Yeah, I feel like so often on the show we talk about a trend and we're like, this started off really fun with people of color, and now the white people have come in. And now we're on Jimmy Kimmel for some reason.
I could talk all day. Yeah. I just got sick of people and institutions that have power validating that story. Because, you know, we have these conversations about the internet, like who cares who gets credit? Who cares what started it? It's all just online.
We do.
And the people who are behind these formative trends, whether it's a dance or an expression, that could be material, you know, have material benefit. It has material benefit to somebody, but almost never the people who created it unless we make a fuss. And so I just got sick of people that have power and institutions that have power validating what I know to be a lie about our culture, that we don't create things, we're not foundational. And I wanted to sort of shift the scales a little bit and say, no, we are at the forefront. So any conversation you're having about the internet, internet culture, technology needs to have traditionally marginalized voices at the center of it. And if you're not, if you can't do that, then you're not actually telling the full story.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you want to support the journalism we do, please consider subscribing to Slate Plus. Seriously, ICYMI would not be possible without all of your support. And Slate Plus really does help us keep the show going. And by going, I mean it keeps us talking about ridiculous things on the internet week after week. Subscribing to Slate Plus also means you'll get no ads on any Slate podcasts, and you'll get bonus segments or extra episodes of shows like Slow Burn, Amicus, Mom and Dad Are Fighting, and Big Mood, Little Mood. You'll also get unlimited reading on the Slate website and access to every article and advice column on Slate, meaning you'll never hit the dreaded paywall. Visit slate.com/ICYMI+ to subscribe. Again, that's slate.com/ICYMI+.
So I feel like we're getting into the next question that we wanted to ask, which is about the formation of internet culture as a beat, as in a beat that is now covered at the New York Times and the Washington Post and all these publications. And
the New Yorker with an umlaut.
And in Slate Magazine. And I'm curious as to what you think about the kind of demographics of internet culture reporters and how it kind of reifies the trends that you talk about, where marginalized creators who should be at the center of the story are often not.
Yeah, what a good question. And I'm not trying to, you know, crap on anybody because we're all in this fight together. Mm-hmm. But I think that particularly for like legacy media outlets, I think as the rise of internet culture as a beat has like become more solidified and more, you know, gotten more shine, I think it's really exposed what kinds of traditional outlets have the range and which ones don't, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you have a mostly white, male, you know, cisgender newsroom, you might not really have the range to tell an authentic, true story about something pertaining to internet culture. Mm-hmm. I'm really pleased that we're seeing that beat get the shine that I think it deserves and the respect that it deserves, but we have to have a real conversation that with that becoming a more, you know, mainstream beat, I think a lot of traditional news outlets need to be looking around their newsrooms and saying, and who do we have who can authentically tell this story in a way that's going to actually be true? Because I feel like, you know, people don't know what they don't know. And so if you don't realize that you're telling a story without, you know, centering a major part of that story, how would you know? And so I think it always comes back to making sure the folks who are telling these stories, amplifying these stories, and really validating them are inclusive and actually look like the people who are at the center of those stories. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Is there anything in the coverage we're seeing right now on the internet culture beat that you want to see more of or less of?
Oh, what a good question. I want to see more coverage of the way that things that start online don't just stay online, right? And so I think we are, people who write about the internet, who care about the internet, we are up against this very harmful like misconception that, oh, it's just kids on social media. TikTok is just kids dancing. You know, if you have a problem online, just close your computer. I've heard that my whole life. And I think that we are only now starting to just accept this reality that the online world and the IRL world have kind of been collapsed into one. And so what happens online really has consequences for what happens offline. And so it can be something, you know, on a micro scale, like somebody who's experiencing harassment online, that harassment might bleed over into their real lives. We saw an example of it on January 6th, where things that started and fomenting online really did boil over into like offline actions. And so I would like to see more coverage of the ways that the internet experience, particularly for marginalized folks and younger folks, really does have a lot of real-world impact.
Mm-hmm. You just tapped into my favorite thing. I hate when people talk about the idea of, like, culture coverage is in one box and internet culture is a separate box, instead of the idea that it's just the continuation of culture since we got on the World Wide Web, thanks Al Gore. Here we are.
Beyonce, let's be correct here.
I deeply...
Accuracy in journalism.
I deeply regret the error.
Mm-hmm. But the kind of dynamic that you're talking about of online forces kind of becoming real to people really didn't seem to happen, I think, in my view, at least until 2016, for white people at least, or like Charlottesville, when they started to see that these online movements weren't just online. But we both covered your Slippage Showing, which is this movement by black women online to basically out trolls who are posing as black women in an effort to... they would say things like, in Father's Day, because it's misogynistic, to make so that people would think that feminists and black women specifically were kind of like shrill social justice warriors. And something that one of the founders of that movement, Shafika Hudson, said was that like women and people of color have always understood that what's happening online is happening in real life. And I guess I'm curious, you did your Slippage Showing on one of your episodes, and I'm wondering, like, what was one of the things that you took away from that?
Oh, I mean, so I'm so glad that you brought this up. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite episode of the podcast I've ever done. Shafika is the coolest, so cool. I would say what I want people to understand as the takeaway from that episode is that, so Shafika is very clear that she does not believe that that kind of, you know, disinformation campaigns where people are posing as black people, she does not believe that that worked on most black people. Mm-hmm. Who it actually worked on is your Tucker Carlson's, yes, your people at Fox News, who then said, like, can you believe that black feminists on Twitter are trying to get rid of Father's Day? Yeah. Like, what a bunch of malarkey. And so she's... excuse me for my use of the word malarkey.
I was like, when did Joe Biden get here?
Wow, all right. Hey, folks.
But I guess I want to say that I think that it really underscores the importance of listening to traditionally marginalized voices when they speak up about their online experiences, because later on, you know, years later, a Senate inquiry would go on to confirm that when disinformers and bad actors were trying to meddle in our election in 2016, that there was no bigger group that they targeted than black folks on social media. And so, you know, you can't hear stuff like that and not say, like, well, gee, when Shafika Hudson was screaming about it and creating a hashtag to help stamp it out, which, by the way, she's just a normal person. Like, she shouldn't, it's not her responsibility to be making these platforms that much safer. If people with power had just listened to her, maybe that wouldn't have happened. Maybe bad actors who wanted to sort of meddle in our elections would not feel that that was an appropriate vessel to do that, right? And so I think for me, it's just tale as old as time that when traditionally marginalized people speak up, people with power either are like, oh, okay, guess I'll do nothing, or our voices are erased and silenced. And so, yeah, I think that the choice that people with power made to do nothing, I think really reverberated, and I think that we're still seeing the impacts today.
Yeah, something that was interesting to me about your slippage showing is that it happened in 2014, which is around when the internet culture beat started to become a real thing. And as I covered it maybe 2 or 3 years after that, and I was just kind of shocked at how little coverage it had gotten, despite the fact that at that time, almost everyone was reporting on like 4chan and Reddit and all of these other things. And I have my suspicions as to why it wasn't covered, but what are yours?
People don't listen to Black women.
Yep.
Like we are, yeah. I mean, it's just, again, tale as old as time. I think that when Black women, I think most traditionally marginalized people, but Black women specifically, mm-hmm. I think that we are seen, honestly, like, I think it's a lot deeper than this. I think that the general understanding is that when we show up online, we shouldn't even expect experiences that feel like affirmation or support or care. When we log onto the internet, we should be expecting to be harassed, to be disinformed, to be targeted. I think that there is a fundamental attitude that we don't deserve, you know, experiences that feel like care online. And so I think that misconception and attitude really explains why people just don't listen when we speak up. And so I think that when people like Shafika Hudson are like, hey, this is happening on my online community, could be bad. I think that people with power just didn't see us as a group that is worthy of being protected or even just listened to. And had they listened to us, we probably wouldn't have seen things like Gamergate. We probably would, like, so much could be different if people had listened to Black women. That's why people sometimes call us the canaries in the coal mine of online experiences, which I kind of hate because some of us just want to, like, make dumb jokes on the internet with our friends, right? Yep. Like, I don't want to be a canary in a coal mine. I want to go online and have a different kind of experience. But we are time and time again put into the situation where we have to be. We have to be so loud about our experiences because nobody listens to us.
Yeah, and I mean, the end of that metaphor, canary in the coal mine, the canary dies.
Right.
So, excuse me if I don't want to be the canary in the coal mine. I just want to do some shit posting.
Right.
Yeah.
I will fangirl slightly and say that if you want to listen to that episode of Bridget's show, you have to scroll back to July 14th of 2020.
Yes, I am so impressed at you. That's exactly right.
It is very good. So speaking of your show and future episodes, we talk a lot, Rachel and I, about, you know, dream topics, people we'd love to have on our podcast. Who's your white whale? Like, who or what is the thing you're, like, dying to talk about on your show?
So I have two. Great. One serious and one kind of, like, less serious, but, like, if you're listening to this, please call me. My serious one is Leslie Jones from Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. I think that Leslie Jones, talking about like the 2014 climate of being online, we all watched Leslie Jones be horribly harassed off of her platform. And, you know, that had political implications. And I think that the way that we're seeing internet experiences be so, the dial be so turned up on them, I think what Leslie Jones experienced really was a precursor to what was to come. Mm-hmm. And so we don't really get to hear her voice about the, and I understand that she maybe doesn't want to, you know, talk about it because it was a very traumatic situation for her. But I think that we all just watched that happen, and we never had a true reckoning on what we were witnessing and the implications. And so Leslie Jones is high on my list. My other is a little bit obscure, I guess. If you've ever seen, if you were on Vine, there's a very good Vine of somebody at the donut shop, Krispy Kreme.
Oh.
And he does this flip.
Kicks the light.
He kicks the light. And so the Vine, I see this Vine when I close my eyes. You don't actually see, he does a backflip, and you know that he's about to knock down this like massive Krispy Kreme hot and ready sign, but you don't actually see it hit the ground or him connect with it. And so my question is, how did it end? Did he have to pay for the sign? Like, what happened?
Was he hurt?
I think about this all the time. All the time.
I feel like we can get both of those happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that feels realistic.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's all the time we have
unfortunately. Until we get Bridget to come back when friend of the pod, Leslie Jones, also comes back. So we'll get Bridget on the show again.
It's going to be a surprise. Next time you end up on the show, don't be surprised if someone else shows up in the Zoom chat.
I would die of happiness.
And we get it all on tape.
Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Yay!
All right, that is the show. Please subscribe. It is the best way to make sure that you never miss an episode, a conversation about internet history, an unhinged game. Leave us a rating and review in Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Tell your friends about us. You can follow us on Twitter. We are at @icymi_pod. We also have an email, and that is, I know our email, icymi@slate.com.
ICYMI is produced by Daniel Schrader. We are edited by Forrest Wickman and Allegra Frank. Amber Smith is Senior Manager of Podcast Audience Development, and Alicia Montgomery is Executive Producer of Slate Podcast. See you online.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.